as our text verse this evening, and then we'll go to quite a few other scriptures from there. There's probably nobody who doesn't sometimes feel inadequate. And we would classify this as self-doubt. You doubt yourself, and probably with good reason, because typically we don't have what it takes to succeed on a spiritual level. And some people pride themselves over their abilities in politics or their abilities in finance or their abilities on some other level. But when it comes to spiritual qualification and spiritual capability, we just don't have what it takes. We need the Lord. And that's what John 15 verse 5 is all about. And that's the text verse that we'll use for this topic this evening on the subject of self-doubt. Self-doubt, because it's a common thing and sometimes hinders and hampers God's people from being what God would have them to be, because they don't believe what the Bible says about such things. John 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And it's really true. We can't do anything that's of any spiritual value without God. And somebody has said, you can't do anything, period, without the Lord. You know, he's the one who gave you your mind. He's the one who gave you your health. He's the one who gave you your resources. He's the one who gave us everything we have. We can't do anything without God's activity in our life. Even unsaved people can't do anything without the goodness and the blessing of God upon their life, because we don't have anything. You know, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And there's nothing about us that we can say we are self-sufficient. I am because I am. God is the eternally existent one. He is the I am. He is existence himself. And we exist and we thrive and we strive and sometimes succeed because we've been given a whole lot of stuff. That's the reason why, because we've been given a whole lot of resources to begin with. And so in a realer sense, John 15, 5, without me ye can do nothing, is absolutely, literally true. We can't do anything without him. And so is it any wonder that sometimes we doubt ourselves? We're told today that no one should be allowed to make you feel less worthy, and self-doubt is wrong, because you can perform, because you can do what needs to be done. You can do it. And while I understand the value of confidence, where our confidence rests is all important. Where our confidence rests. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, without me, ye can do nothing. I can do, or that's John 15, 5, I'm sorry. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we're being told today, you can do all things. You can do everything. You can do anything that you set your mind to do. Well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's the proper balance, and that's the proper temper to the principle. You know, I can be what God wants me to be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so whatever self-doubts we may have, if we point them towards God who said you can do it through Christ, doubting, well, then we'd have to say doubting God is wrong. Doubting God is sinful. Doubting God is contrary to God's commands. He doesn't want us to doubt him. He wants us to be bold and confident in him. The fact is that the Holy Spirit has said essentially that we can perform in the areas he has appointed for us with his strength. We can be exactly what he wants us to be. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And some people are very self-deprecating. And somebody has, I heard somebody recently point out the fact that an extreme self-deprecating attitude really is is kind of another form of pride, because the focus is all about me. It's all on me. And whether I'm saying, yeah, I'm great, I'm handsome, I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful, I'm so talented, or whether a person says, I can't do anything, I am totally worthless, I'm a rotten human being, and I don't deserve anything. You know, and some of that is true. I don't deserve anything good from God. None of us deserves anything good from God. But you understand what I'm saying? Extreme self-deprecation is still self-focus. And so it's a twisted kind of pride that causes us to come to that position. And a healthy outlook is, you know what, I can be all that Christ wants me to be. I can do this through Christ and give him the glory. I'm reading a book right now by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he writes about the power of and the value of praise in the life of a believer, and how it's so good for us to just give God credit and just give God glory. It's good for us, and it's fulfilling his purpose in our life. He wants us to give honor and glory and praise to him, of course, but it's also good for us to honor and glorify and praise him. And the power of praise for the child of God is a very important subject. I want us to consider the subject of self-doubt for the next few minutes this evening. The first principle is self-doubts are realistic. They're realistic. There are plenty of things that I can't do. And you know, I think about Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, where he said, when God called him to be the spokesman, the one who would tell Pharaoh to let his people go, his first reaction was, I can't do that. And that's realistic. I can't be what I think I should be. I can't be what I want to be. I can't even be what somebody else expects me to be. But God persuaded Moses that he would go with him, and he would be his strength, and he would be his voice. He gave him, even his brother Aaron, to be his mouthpiece. But look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I can't do that. And I think we see a lot of Bible characters who said the same thing. Jeremiah said that when God called him to be a preacher or a prophet. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 with me. Self-doubts are realistic, and we know ourselves as well as any other human being probably knows us. And if we say, I can't do this, I'm not capable, I'm not smart enough, I'm not alert enough, I'm not whatever enough, it's probably pretty close to being true. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I can't do this. And notice the Lord's reaction. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. And so he said to Jeremiah, who said, I can't do this. Well, the question is, can God do it? Can God do it? And can God use a human instrument to accomplish his purpose? The answer to both of those questions is yes. Obviously, God can do this. And so even though our self-doubts are realistic, if we are seeking the Lord and relying on the Lord, we can say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And doubting what God has said he can do and what he will do is wrong. It's sinful. It's an example of doubt and fear and faithlessness. Self-doubt often is rooted in faithlessness. We don't believe what God has said. He said, you can do this with my strength, with my power, with my help. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief," they said in verse 19, "why could we not cast him out?" He said, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Can God move a mountain? Yes, he can. And we somehow, when it comes to this passage of Scripture, we interpret it and we say, well, you know, God doesn't do that sort of thing these days. And so that somehow excuses us. The Bible says that God can do anything. He can move a mountain if that's his plan, that's his purpose. And so that means if you pray by faith and the Spirit of God is leading you and enabling you in that prayer of faith, you can ask God to move that mountain and he'll move it if that's his plan for this situation. He's still the same God. He's able to move mountains. And someone may say, oh, I believe God can, and fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. I believe God can do this. And my question to you is, really? Do you really believe that? Do you ask him to do it? Is it worth doing? And is it God's will for it to be done? Do you ask him? Do you trust him? Do you seek his face? Sometimes fear is our primary emotion and motivation. And you remember 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, which says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And we're often motivated by fear. And that is basically the opposite of faith. We ought to be motivated by faith and not fear, and not fearfulness. Self-doubts are realistic, as I said. Look at Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Here the Bible speaks again about a situation where faith was required. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You know what he's saying? My life doesn't really matter whether I live or die, whether I survive or whether I go home to be with the Lord. That doesn't really matter. He said, none of these things move me. I'm not motivated. I'm not compelled by fear. And we think and we are inclined to say, oh, the very worst thing that could happen, the worst thing that could happen would be if that person passed away. I was talking to a fellow named Brian Michaels at the radio station just today. I went to record our radio broadcast. And just a couple weeks ago, Denny Johnson passed away suddenly. He was only in his 50s. He had a heart attack, and he was a very, very large man. So he was extremely overweight, and that no doubt contributed to the condition that finally took his life. But Brian was commenting on, yeah, there's still just a big hole that's here with the loss of Denny. I said, I understand, I know, and I could tell he was still grieving over this person's death. And to most people, that's the very worst that can happen. The worst thing. What's the worst thing that could happen? Oh, you could die. That's not the worst thing that could happen. To die without Christ is the worst thing that could happen. To die without a Savior is the worst thing that could happen to you. Because if you know the Lord and you die, you're just going to go straight to heaven and be with Christ forever. That's not the worst thing that could happen. But we sometimes fear because we have the wrong perspective on things. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Here the Bible says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." It's not fear that God gives us. It's confidence that God gives us. Self-doubts, even though they are realistic, are not well-grounded for the child of God who has the Heavenly Father to depend upon. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death. Fear of death. I think it's interesting. Look at 1 John chapter 4. And we talked about this a few months ago about fear. 144 times in the Bible, the Word of God says, fear not. Fear not. 144 times in the Bible. That is extremely significant. Does God want His children to be afraid? No, He does not. And self-doubts that cause us to fear, I can't do this, I can't do this, are not well grounded. If it's God's will for you to do this, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Is it important that the Bible says fear not 144 times? Yes, that's extremely significant. Understand this next principle. First of all, self-doubts are realistic. Secondly, we can become captivated by our own limitations. We imagine we can do something, and maybe this is a habit we're just habitually pursuing. We're just, and the Spirit of God brought this to my attention recently, that maybe at times over the years I've been a little bit too cut and dried with things, because I think I know how a church should be led and operated, and at times that was probably reactionary instead of a faith response. God wants me to trust Him and to respond to Him by faith. And our reactionary responses, oh, this is the way I react when such and so happens, that can just be a habit. Is that a faith habit? Is it motivated by faith, or is it just motivated by self? We can become captivated by our own limitations, and we begin to pursue things with all of our might. But it's my will. It's my will. It's not God's will. It's my will. Was it God's will for Abraham to sojourn in the land of Egypt because there was a famine in the land, because he felt like he had to get down to Egypt to be able to have plenty of food? Was it God's will for him to take Hagar and for Ishmael to be born? Was that God's will? I think we would agree, no, that was not God's will. That was something that he did. Maybe he was persuaded to do it, but that was an example of faithlessness on Abraham's part. He was captivated by his own limitations. David did the same thing in the situation with the ark and the new cart. And you remember Uzziah died because they were doing something that God had not commanded them to do. David later on numbered the people. And this was a terrible blight on the life of faith. And what was the outcome? Well, thousands of people died in a plague because David was just responding and reacting to situations that seemed like they were viable, that seemed like they were legitimate, but it was not a faith action. It was not a faith response that he was making. He was captivated by his own limitations. I think about Samson, who did this with his interactions with Delilah. What was this about? He was motivated, and obviously Samson's another situation, but he was obviously motivated by his own fleshly desires. And does that not motivate us a lot of times? And they're not necessarily immoral desires like Samson's were, but we are sometimes motivated and limited and captivated by our limitations. We just naturally respond. This is the way that it can be accomplished. This is the way it can be done. This is the way we can do it ourselves, rather than looking to the Lord and seeing Him accomplish what we can never accomplish. Self-doubts are realistic, but then we often turn to our own resources instead of trusting the Lord. We often turn to our own resources to try to accomplish what we believe needs to be accomplished. And you know what? We usually make a mess of things when we do that, because we're doing it our way, not God's way. we're resorting to the arm of flesh instead of the power of God. The third principle is this: doubting God is a sin. Our real conflict is between what we consider real and what we consider imaginary, and this is a real challenge. It's something that was brought to my attention in another book that I'm reading. I've got about six different books I'm reading right now, and I can't even remember for sure which one this is about. It may be the book by A.W. Tozer on faith, where he talked about the fact that even Christian people sometimes think about what things are real, and then they also relegate the life of faith to what's imaginary. And because it's not visible, we don't see it as being real. Do you know that God is just as real as anything you can touch or feel in this room, or in your life, or in your home? God is just as real. And his promises are not imaginary. His promises are real. They may be, and God's work may be invisible to us, but that doesn't make it any less real than it already is. And it's not less real than anything. It's the most real thing there is. In fact, the invisible realm is more real than what people say they can see with their eyes. God is real. And just because he's invisible does not mean he's not real, or he's imaginary, or he's theoretical or hypothetical. We trust him as the real God, even though we can't see him. And that's the essence of faith. That's the essence of faith. We trust God to do what we cannot do, and he can really answer those requests, because he's real and not imaginary. This is not really the issue. That which is of faith is real. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Here the Bible says, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat." And this is talking about meats offered to idols. But the principle that's stated in verse 23 is powerful. "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." If it's not of faith, the Bible says it's sin. In other words, if I try to accomplish something myself instead of looking to the Lord to accomplish it, the Bible says that's sin. If I'm trusting in the arm of flesh, how many times did God state through the prophets in the Old Testament, "Don't trust in Egypt, don't trust in Assyria, don't trust in these that you put your confidence in"? And in the Psalms, "Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of our God." And the men's ensemble sings a song with those very words. And God is not pleased when we put our trust in the arm of flesh. He's not pleased when we trust ourselves with what needs to be done. And self-doubt, of course, that's the opposite of self-doubt. That's too much self-confidence and self-reliance, and God wants us to trust him. In Titus chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says this: "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto the defiled, unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled." And if it's not of faith, it's sin, and that which is not of faith is impure. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him." If we're asking God for something that we consider to be imaginary, that's an error. It's real. If God's in it, we're asking for realities. And you know what? We should judge our own heart. It's not right just because the thought popped into my head. I've said this before. We have a tendency to imagine, because I thought it, it's true. Because I thought it, it's right. Do you ever imagine you could be deceived about something, about a situation? You don't see all things as you imagine you see them. And so just because the thought popped into your head doesn't mean you're right about that. Is it biblical? Is it scriptural? It's not right just because you thought it. Is it in keeping with what the Word of God says? And what does God want you to do? And on the subject of self-doubt and doubting being a sin and us becoming captivated by our own limitations, the Word of God tells us that we can do all things through Christ. We can be what God wants us to be. We can understand. We can accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished. Don't ever say, oh, I just don't speak well. I could never talk to somebody like that. I could never witness to that person of the saving grace of God. I think about the apostles, the disciples of Christ. When Christ sent out the 12, when he sent out the 70, he told them the same thing both times. At least when he sent out the 12, he said, you don't even need to worry about what you're going to say, because the Spirit of God will give you in that hour what you should say. You don't have to figure out a manuscript to present, to memorize, to present the gospel effectively. Just fill your heart with truth. Fill your heart with the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will give you what to say when it's necessary for you to say it. What's that about? It's about confidence in God. It's not about me focusing on what I can do or what I can't do. It's about saying, Lord, you've got to help me with this, and I rely upon you. It's not about self-doubt. It's about being conscious that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you can, and I can. We can be what God wants us to be through Christ. Just learn to trust him. Learn to focus on him, and challenge yourself. Is my faith in God a theoretical thing? How do I see the Lord? Or do I see him as a real force that ought to be observed, a real influence that ought to be trusted in my life? Is he a real person to me? Or is his power merely and his promise merely imaginary? Do I consider him as being real in my life? Am I trusting him so that I can do all things through Christ? I can do everything God wants me to do through Christ who strengthens me. Get beyond the self-doubt and trust the Lord. Put your confidence in your boast, let your boast be in him. He can do what needs to be done in your life. Just believe him. Just take him at his word. And once again, we go back to faith. We go back to the epitome of the Christian life. It's all about faith. God wants us to trust him. He just wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe his word and accept what he says by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us when we are assaulted by self-doubts. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented. I'm not skilled. I'm not intelligent enough. Help us to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and may we not be hindered, hampered, handicapped by doubts and fears. May we commit those to the Lord and trust you to give us the strength, to give us the wherewithal to accomplish your work in our life. Father, to be a witness to somebody, to go out and talk to people about their eternal soul. I can't do that. I just can't talk to people. Well, I can through Christ who strengthens me. And so help us to live the life of faith. Help us to trust you and be what you would have us to be as a result. Use us, Father. Take us and make us useful in your service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention this